Romans 12:1 tells us to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But how do you do that? How do we change our mind? Scripture says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So saying that a lot of the things that come out of our heart are the things that make us and that help us in the activities we do, the decisions we make. Matthew 15:18 says, out of the heart the mouth speaks. Again, all of these things that come out of the heart influence our behavior. And Proverbs 4:3 says that out of the heart flow the issues of life. So how do we go about changing our thinking? How do we renew our mind? Recent discoveries in brain chemistry and physiology, as well as counseling, support the notion that as we change our thinking and how we think, we actually change neural pathways and how our brains work. And then as we substitute truth for the lies that we have learned, usually unconsciously, we change the ways we feel and behave. Changing the way we think literally changes the production of serotonin in our brain, which affects how we feel. We saw a demonstration of this in a conference for treatment of depression. Now, they were trying to push a medication at this conference, but we saw PET scans that you've probably seen where images of the brain are blue in the background, where there's more activity, it's yellow, where the most intensive activity is red. There were two patients who were treated, and there were before and after pictures. One person was treated with a medication, and the other person was treated with changing how he thought. The end result was the same. The person who took the medication had changes in the brain, which showed he was thinking better, but the other person had changes in the brain because he had learned to think differently. What that picture showed me was very literally how we think and what we think changes our brain chemistry. Many of our emotions are created. Now, let me describe something. Maybe I've known you for a long time, and I pass you on the sidewalk, and I don't greet you. And you begin wondering, what's wrong with Larry? What's wrong with me? Is he angry with me? Is he upset with me? What's happening here? And maybe he's angry of something I said at the meeting we had last week. Really, what is happening here is this event happens, and then you have feelings as a result of trying to sort this out. But what is really happening is that an event happens, and you make an interpretation of that event as to what it means, and then based on that interpretation, you have feelings. And this is a crucial piece of knowledge to have, because we make these interpretations lightning fast, based on past experience, based on negative messages we have in our heart. For example, I'm not worthwhile, so Larry doesn't want to talk to me because I'm not worth talking to. That might be a message. Or because of the family you grew up in, when people are angry with you, they don't talk to you. So therefore, Larry didn't talk to me, so he must be angry at me. So you see, our interpretation of the event is what really causes our feelings, not the event itself. This becomes then a gross distortion of reality. And these thoughts are, as I said before, they're lightning fast. We have been used to thinking this way so often that we never consider there's another possibility. They're very specific, such as, I'm dumb, I'm stupid, I should have. And they're usually almost always based on early messages we had that condemned us or put us down. And these automatic thoughts are always self-deprecating. They always put us down. The self-talk that we have, that we interpret what things mean, are based on gross distortions of reality. They're not true. This is why we call them lies. A book was written, Lies We Believe. Based on these lies, we interpret what happens to us in the light of that. For example, we have a friend who, when she was a little girl, when there was a knock on the door, her mother would gather all the children and take them into a back bedroom of the house until the person went away. From this, she learned that people coming to the door should be avoided, or perhaps are dangerous. She found out years later that they were having problems with bill collectors, and so mother didn't want to deal with them and would take the children to the back bedroom. This is something she learned. She interpreted all her interactions with strangers based on this experience she had as a little child. Now, how does this manifest itself? Some of the signs that show that you are thinking distortions are self-deprecating thoughts, which put you down, which make you feel worth less than other people, make you feel insignificant, unloved, inadequate, incompetent, unlovable, all sorts of things. And these can then proceed into provoking a downward spiral, and then you feel even worse about yourself. Actually, they create a kind of tunnel vision. They don't give any other options for possibilities or another interpretation. Ongoing conflicts in interpersonal relationships is often a sign that there may be some of these automatic thoughts, these hidden heart messages, by which you are making interpretations of other people's actions, but it's the wrong interpretation, and it leads to conflict. One of the fallacies also is that when something happens, there is only one way the situation can be interpreted. We have an acquaintance who had to go to the hospital for several days. When she got home, she called up Lois, very upset that there were several messages on her answering machine from people who were checking up on her. And Lois said, well, that's interesting. How can you tell the difference between people who are checking up on you and the people who really care about you and want to know how you're doing? I never thought of that, she said. She only had one way these messages could be interpreted. So no matter how irrational our thoughts are or how wrong they are, we believe them because we never examine them. And this includes things like shoulds, oughts, or musts. If you hear yourself saying should, ought, or must, behind that is a lie that you're believing. Sometimes we can awfulize. Isn't this awful? This is terrible. The world is coming to an end. If this happens, then it's not that bad. Just as automatic thoughts are learned, we can learn to think a different way. And we can teach our minds to think true and positive thoughts, which lead to feeling better about ourselves, so that what we experience is the outworking of our own thoughts and beliefs. Now, we have lots of ways of making errors, but I'd like to go through a distinct process of how we change how we think. For example, there may be a triggering event. Very often you'll find a situation happens and you will have bad feelings about yourself. And I'll just use a very simple one. I drop a half-gallon milk container on the floor, and my first thought is, I am clumsy. What's wrong with this? The truth is, 999 times out of 1,000, I have taken that half-gallon container out of the refrigerator, and nothing has ever gone wrong. So I'm not clumsy. The problem of my thinking is, could be, I have to do everything right without making mistakes. I have to do everything well. The truth is, this is the first time I've spilled milk in a year, and most of the time I lift out the milk without difficulty, and so next time I'll just use two hands instead of one. And frankly, just saying it, I feel better about myself already just saying that. But such a simple process. Something happens, and we have a feeling about ourselves. I'm clumsy, I'm incompetent, I'm stupid, life is not worth living. And then we have a feeling as a result of that interpretation, but we have to go back and see what's wrong with this. There's another one. You wake up in the morning really feeling down in the pits. The thought is, life is for the pits. Life is not worth living. No one loves me. The error here is saying that the way I feel accurately represents reality. It doesn't. This is the feeling I have, but it doesn't represent reality. And so the truth is, the way that I feel doesn't represent the true state of the world. There's much to be grateful and appreciative for. For example, I was able to wake up this morning and get up on my own power and get dressed and feed myself and do all those things. That's a lot to be thankful for because there's a lot of people can't do that. And so there is much to be grateful for. So the way you feel is not an accurate representation of reality. So just to recap, first, when you have a negative feeling like that, what happened just before I began to have that feeling? And then what interpretation did I make of that? And then is that a correct interpretation or are there other explanations? Is there another possibility here? And then what is the truth about me and the situation and what is the truth as applies to me? Very literally, as I mentioned earlier, thinking this way, we can change our brain chemistry. When we change how we feel about ourselves, change how we think, we will interact with others differently and we'll have improved relationships. And there's good neurologic evidence from research to show that when our brain is working more effectively, we have an enhanced spiritual life, too. A brain that is having difficulty with thinking negative thoughts has a great difficulty with the spiritual life. So by thinking the truth and believing the truth, replacing the lies that you have with God's Word and all the things that God has to say about you. You are loved. You are treasured. Ephesians 1, for example, talks about all the good things that God has done for us and is doing for us. If you get that into your heart, down deep, it can replace the lies. This is perhaps why Scripture says to encourage one another daily. If we have a friend who's believing a lie, we can feed the truth to them and say, this is really the truth. And we can encourage them to be thinking the truth and believing the truth and acting on the truth. And in a way, even more than we had ever realized, the truth will set us free. But the truth comes from believing it.